why vijnana, or consciousness, is one of the five khandhas affected by clinging, five upadana khanda, or sometimes called the five dukkha khanda, the five aggregates of suffering. Why is consciousness tied so much to suffering? There are places in the suttas and also in our experience where we can easily see how the body is associated with suffering, because you can see how unstable it is, how much it hurts, especially as we get old. It's one thing after another. Now, there's no refuge in the body, no refuge in feelings. You can see how long does the feeling last? Nothing to depend on there. And the same thing about views and intentions. You know, how many times have people take a retreat and say, oh, I'm going to meditate every day, you know, and then their intentions might or might not develop that kind of continuity that people wish for. In the practice of samadhi, samma samadhi, or right concentration, which is defined as the jhanas, there is a procedure where the mind's engagement with the five senses falls away, where the involvement with the physical body and everything that's coming and going in connection to the physical body falls away, and then the mind is, or the consciousness, is reflecting back on itself. So this is an experience that you might have if you're able to obtain concentration. That experience is sometimes called pure awareness, especially in the Thai tradition. They frequently emphasize on pure awareness as something very valuable and noble and good to develop. Why is it pure? Is it pure because this is the thing finally that we can depend on? Is it pure because we own it, because it's stable, because it's trustworthy? No. It's pure because at that moment, in that practice of meditation, the mind is purified of the five hindrances. So the hindrances have gone to sleep, and the mind is no longer reacting to the various things that are coming up to the body. The feelings coming up to the body don't disturb the mind anymore. And having that purity, the consciousness is able to have a kind of stability that is completely different than an ordinary state of mind. Even I was talking to somebody the other day who gave me a really good tip. She had a question, which was that she's able to achieve concentration and she can't find the fault in it. So she was wondering what to do there, because she knew that this was not the final solution, but she just found it so pleasant, so satisfying, so stable. And she couldn't see anicca in that pure consciousness of concentration. So my suggestion to her was to look for anatta, look for not-self in there, because it still is something that's created by cause and conditions, and something that does come to the end at the end of the set. It's one of the qualities of vijnana, that vijnana takes the moments of experience that we get, moments, you know, many, many, many moments of experience. Vijnana strings them together and makes them into a continuity. So vijnana is responsible for creating my story, the most important story of all, the story of me. Vijnana creates the autobiography. Vijnana creates the worldview that has the self at the middle of it. And that's why, in fact, because vijnana, in the sense of this thing that can be experienced in deep meditation, is a really important stepping stone. It's something that we try to develop as a stepping stone in our practice. And yet it still has a really serious fault. It has the fault of the self-centered view, which then has to be thrown away. What the Buddha said in the Dhatavibhanga Sutta that we were talking about a few months ago, He said that when there's develops this consciousness, purified and bright, after having had the meditation on the elements of the body, and then you develop the awareness of senses, awareness of the materiality in the elements, and just keep watching and watching and watching and concentrating until then it disappears. There's only consciousness left. And the Buddha said, now you've got a choice. If you want to, you can go to an immaterial meditation, such as the meditation on infinite space or something like that. And you can stay there, and you can die there, and you can be dwelling in an immaterial realm for 80,000 kalpas. And you have just delayed your opportunity for enlightenment by 80,000 eons. Okay, so that's the danger of vijnana. That's why even vijnana, which is the most sublime, the most truly pleasant of any possible aspect of our human experience, is still faulty. And it's not just faulty in some theoretical way. It's got this real nature of suffering. The point I was trying to make at the beginning of this talk is that the suffering aspect is not some incidental, adventitious quality that the khandhas are actually nice. It's only because we cling to them that they become suffering. My conclusion from the study that I've done is that actually when the khandhas are dealt with in that particular set, because those technical words in Buddhism are context sensitive, but in the context of five khandhas, the natural tendency, the natural function, the natural operation of the five khandhas all together, each one individually and all of them as they operate all together, is to motivate action, karmic action, towards survival, more life, protecting the self, and to create a self, to create the false, delusive view of self. And that's why we call them upadana khanda, because this from craving comes clinging is called upadana. Upadana is also, there's a pun involved in there. Upadana has the meaning of clinging, and it also is related to a Pali verb called upadi, which is the ground of being. So upadi is related to bhava, becoming. So then you become, what are you going to become? Well, if you're doing that immaterial meditation, you will become a deva in an immaterial realm for 80,000 aeons. If you live, if you're somebody who's really sensual, who just is very effective in operating with their animal nature, somebody who's like really intuitive, who just comes from their gut, from their instincts, and just is able to be successful in the world by with their animal qualities, then maybe they'll be an animal. You know, so that's what bhava, becoming, means, not just becoming in some kind of philosophical theory thing, it means becoming something. So, and what comes before becoming is upadi, is clinging. So that clinging is the aspect of that identification, that kind of like a reification, where something that we know is a flow and a process, something that's always in motion, always changing, then somehow, because of the delusive mind, it becomes reified and made into something solid, like a nugget, like a karmic knot. And that aspect of solidity is how we get caught. We get tied onto the merry-go-round. So we'd like to avoid that. I'm suggesting if you first learn how to recognize five khandhas, how to develop some skill in managing with the five khandhas so that the gross manifestation of emotional problems doesn't overwhelm you. And then finally, learn to settle in meditation so that you can see them clearly as being not me, not mine, not myself. That then the breakthrough is seeing the khandhas as they really are. And after that, you don't want it anymore. you gain something called nibbida, which means disenchantment, or sometimes translated as revulsion or repulsion. So this whole mess doesn't have any appeal anymore. And it sounds kind of unpleasant, doesn't it? But it's not unpleasant. It's actually joyful, because right then what comes after nibbida? Viraga. Okay, so then this whole engagement with the senses, the sensual craving, the involvement there just fades away. And then we know freedom. And then we're very close to awakening. So that's the strength and the power of this learning how to practice with five khandhas.